Who may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Philippians chapter 2. Now listen closely to what it says. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, and the grammar is in Christ, if there's any fellowship of spirit in Christ, if there's any heart or compassion in Christ, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent in one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as important, as more important than himself. Do not merely look at your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, that even though he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. There's a lot of cool stuff here that he says between verse 2 and verse 6 about what he's looking for in terms of their relationship with each other. Making his joy complete by being of the same mind with each other, maintaining the same love with each other. In other words, don't love sometimes and then love sometimes. I mean, it's a real call here, challenging thing. Let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. United in spirit. The word intent with one purpose is just thinking, being on the same page would be the best way to translate that. Being on the same page. Now, how is that all possible? Well, he tells us in verse 1. And this is a scripture this morning when the Lord spoke this to me. I was reminded of years ago how this is one of those verses that God really used to teach me practical things about walking in the Spirit. You know, my testimony is that when I gave my life to Christ, the thing that dominated my life would have been fear and anxiety. And so I was really insecure around people. I tell the funny story that I hated to go into stores because I was so intimidated by talking to the cashier, having that kind of one-on-one conversation, even a brief one, with somebody I didn't know. And then when I got set free, and I realized that Jesus had come to live his life in me so he could live his life through me, that was one of my testing grounds. I would just stop and go like a pack of gum and then do that often, or a Coke or something, just so I could go to the cashier and by faith open up my mouth and let it flow, trusting that it was Christ, no matter how stupid it came out. And that was one of the ways consistent practical victory began to be manifested in my life. When I would go out with somebody, I remember I used to be so fearful that when you're in the ministry like I was in and you're single, people are always trying to line up things for you. And I never liked that, but because I always felt so intimidated. I didn't know whether I was going to be funny or talk enough or not talk enough or what to do or what to know. And I finally got it. I just said, Lord, I'm just going to go and show up. And if I feel like talking, that's you. If I don't feel like talking, it's not you. And however it turns out, that's you. It was real liberating. But this first verse was transforming for me because he says, because it transcends personality types. Maybe you're not a Barnabas. And so just being the encourager isn't what you do. You're quiet, and so you feel that's not really who you are. Or maybe consoling people is not your best thing. I've known people who don't seem to be very consoling when people are going through stuff. They don't seem to be quite as sensitive as you would think they would be. Or they don't know how to fellowship with people. They're insecure. They feel uncomfortable with people that don't know, going into a new setting. But what he says here, when he tells them all these things he wants them to work on in their relationship with each other or to maintain, and a lot of it maintains unity, he says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, does Christ carry around the capacity to be encouraging the people? Then if you find yourself in situations where somebody needs encouragement, but that's just not just, I found myself going, Lord, thank you that there's encouragement in you. And I would go forth trusting him that I would, as I encourage somebody, wouldn't come across like some kind of idiot. When he says, is there any consolation of love in Christ? And so I was able to pray into that. Lord, I want to see the consolation that's in you manifested through me. So cause me to be sensitive to people who need to be consoled in love. And then I'm going to step into it and just let it go. Let it rip. Take it out for a spin. And this was the big one for me. Is there any fellowship in the Spirit? That I didn't have to spend my life being intimidated and use my personality type or any other thing as an excuse for bondage. That I could just step into a place and fellowship in the Spirit, because there's fellowship in the Spirit in Christ, and I'm in union with that person. He knows how to fellowship and it be on a spirit level. And so instead of dreading going into situations or dreading being around people that I didn't know, I could go into those places thanking him that there's fellowship in the Spirit in him, and then go for it. See, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control is not a personality type. So those of you who have a tendency to be grouchy towards people who don't do it the way you think they should do it, Levi and I used to laugh all the time. I know this is not on Amia because she's so sweet. But the Reeves, she would say there's the right way, there's the wrong way, and there's the Reeves way, which was the perfect way. And she would get frustrated because people, this is one of the most famous phrases, they just weren't doing right. And what that meant was they weren't doing it the way that she thought they should do it. And so if that's your personality type, if you're a choleric personality and you're goal-oriented and you want to get things done, and you get grumpy and grouchy and offended with people because they don't do it the way you think they should or aren't getting it done fast enough or whatever, that's sin. That's not your personality type. It's your fallen personality type, but the fallen personality went to the cross and was crucified. Well, I'm just so shy. I just don't like to be around people I don't really know. That's sin. Oh, that's terrible to say that that's sin. I'm not doing something evil. It's sin. Fear is sin. You understand? Insecurity and self-introspection, that's sinful. I don't have to live that way. Is there any fellowship in the Spirit in Christ? Yes, there is. Hallelujah. You can actually, you don't have to, you're not going to be like somebody else, but you can at least walk into those places claiming this and then let it rip. Go for it. You don't have to be the funnest person in the party. There are personality types, but they're all still under the control of the Holy Spirit. So whatever gentleness looks like through your personality, that's what it's going to look like. Is there any affection and compassion? The word affection here is bowels. Is there any heart? It's the word. Is there any heart in Christ and therefore compassion in Christ? Yes. We all know that the anointing flows at a much higher level when we walk in compassion. Was there any compassion, any heart, and any compassion in Christ? Yes. Therefore, it's in you. That's why he makes that statement first before he then tells them, make my joy complete by being of the same mind with each other, maintaining the same love. How is that possible? By trying hard to meet some Christian standard? Sometimes people, it seems like it's hard for them to love them, right? Am I the only one? I'm raising two hands. Never anybody in my congregation. United in spirit, being on the same page, because Jesus has got a pretty big page. In other words, all these cool things that he says, how do I do all that? Just by rolling up my sleeve and going, all righty? No, by abiding, by appropriating, by drawing from. Is any of that stuff in Christ? See, Paul always sets the table. He never asks us to do anything until he first sets the table about the fact that we're in Christ. Now, the good news about that is, wow, I can actually experience this, even though it's contradictory towards my fallenness, those areas of weakness in me. And my weakness, the strength is made perfect. It sets the table, but it also takes away all the excuses. Rude is sin. Impatience with people is sin. Getting frustrated with people is sin. Jesus said, is there any heart in Jesus? Any compassion in Jesus? So, good news, bad news. Good news is that you can walk in all this because you're in Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're good at this, he is. The bad news is you don't have any more excuses. But it's really not bad news because sin's not a fun place to walk in, is it? Victory over sin is the fun place to walk in, right? And fun is our favorite sacrament. And sin's not fun. The people that you sin toward, they're not having fun, and you're not having fun either. The only one having fun is the devil. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Circle that verse. Apply it to places where you struggle. And then go, wow. Is there any fellowship in the Spirit in Christ? That's awesome. If you're a person who's bent towards being insecure, let's stand together. So I'm not sure if I made you feel good or made you feel bad. If you're under conviction and you're starting to feel good, then that's the best thing. Okay.